Our lesson this morning is out of Romans chapter 7, 1 to 6, and we're also going to be checking Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, the question of being under any part of the law. The theme of the epistle to the Romans is that God's righteousness is available to man by faith from start to finish. This belief is often not accepted in Christendom. Some claim that one must have faith plus works to be justified. Others say that though we're justified by faith, we cannot live righteously a godly life by faith. After teaching that believers should not sin, Paul addressed the believer's relationship to the Mosaic law. This issue was relevant in Paul's era due to an emphasis on the law in Judaism, out of which the first Christians came. But it's even more relevant today since Seventh-day Adventists say, and I quote, "While Christ's death ended the authority of the ceremonial law, it established that of the Ten Commandments, namely, that we're still to keep the Ten Commandments." This comes right out of the book Seventh-day Adventists Believe that was printed in 1989, page 244. It was sent to all evangelical pastors in the nation at the time. I kept my book just so I could have something to use for dealing with this. And that includes the Hebrew Sabbath, because all Ten Commandments would include the Hebrew Sabbath. Well, Romans chapter 7, 1 to 6, and Colossians 2, 16 deals with this matter. So we view these passages for our insight. I'd like to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, we're grateful for your love, grateful for the inspiration of Scripture and the way the Holy Spirit authored this book, and also who illumines the Word of God to us so we can understand it, who then equips us by the power of the Spirit of God to live the truth that is here. We ask for wisdom to understand and to utilize each one of these ministries of the Spirit of God that we might understand the truth and live it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Romans 7, 1 through 6. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if her husband be dead, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband is alive, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now that we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." Okay, in Romans 7, 1 to 6, Paul taught how a believer in Christ is no longer under the jurisdiction of the Mosaic law. He illustrated from the law how one is under the jurisdiction of the law regarding his marriage, as long as both spouses are living. But if his spouse dies, he is free from that marital bond. And they can remarry another. In fact, this is true even in the church era. Paul says he had a direction to widows and widowers in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. They could go ahead and remarry only in the Lord. In other words, have to marry someone who's a believer in Christ. Paul recommended, though, that it'd be better for widows and widowers to remain single as he was so they can commit themselves to the Lord. But of course, Paul's ruling is it's always better to marry than to burn, and burn in lust, that is. So if a man marries another while his spouse is alive, he commits adultery, according to Romans 7, 3. But if his spouse dies, he's free from the original marital bond and is innocent to adultery if he marries. Now, Paul applied that illustration to the positional truth regarding the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe in Christ, we are positionally made dead to the jurisdiction of the Mosaic law by our identification with Christ's body that died under the law. that we should be spiritually married to Christ, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth the righteous fruit of godly works. Now, once we were in the flesh, that means we were under the law, we could only do that which violated the law, bringing forth fruit unto death, according to Romans 7:5. But now that we have been delivered from the jurisdiction of the Mosaic law, we must serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. The letter, that would be the letter of the law. However, to clarify whether we were saved just from the jurisdiction of Seventh-day Adventism's alleged ceremonial law, and not also from the Ten Commandments, we study Colossians 2:16 as follows. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists have come up with the idea of the ceremonial law, and they separate between the ceremonial law and the Ten Commandments. In other words, the Ten Commandments would be the Ten Commandments that are in Exodus chapter 20. But they say the ceremonial law includes everything else, the observance of Passover, observance of tithing and whatnot. There are lots of rules that deal with the ceremonial law. And so they say, well, we're not under the ceremonial law, but we are still under the Ten Commandments. And because we're still under the Ten Commandments, we have to keep Saturday, which is the Jewish Sabbath. That's their rule. That's why they keep Saturday. So Colossians 2:16 in the King James Version teaches that we are not to let anyone judge us believers in regards to food and drink and everything, but he includes the words Sabbath days. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists claim that the King James Version Sabbath days term should be rendered Sabbaths, not Sabbath days, what allegedly refers to sabbatical years, according to Seventh-day Adventists, and that would be the sabbatical years of land rest in the alleged ceremonial law. Remember in Leviticus 25, 1-7, God said every seventh year you're supposed to let the land lie fallow, and then the poor of the land and people can eat whatever grows on the land. But then starting on the eighth year, which would be starting over the new week of years, then you can plant it and harvest it. Now, there's no evidence that Israel ever kept that. In fact, God judged them because of that. So the Seventh-day Adventists say we must then allegedly still keep the Sabbath day as we are allegedly still under the Ten Commandments. In other words, since the word Sabbath there in Colossians 2:16 that Paul says we're not under, they say that refers to the sabbatical years. We're still under the Ten Commandments. We have to keep the Sabbath days. That's their argument. Well, we're going to answer that argument. The Greek text at Colossians 2:16 does use the plural noun sabbaton that literally means Sabbaths. But this plural elsewhere in the New Testament always refers to a Sabbath day or days, not to sabbatical years. Sometimes it uses the plural when we're referring to keeping the Sabbath. Do you keep Sabbaths? See, and you say, do you keep the Sabbath day? That's why it would be sort of a plural sense. But it always refers to days, not sabbatical years in the New Testament. Also, the other time-related observances mentioned in Colossians 2:16 are each days within a calendar year. The other days that are mentioned there, let me just pick them up here, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, are holy days and new moons. Let no man therefore judge you in regards to meat, that's food, or drink, or in respect to a holy day, that would be a feast day, such as the Passover or the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and so forth, or the new moons. They always celebrated the new moon. The new moon started the new month, and so they would have a feast for that, or the Sabbaths. So since the other days in Colossians 2:16 always refer to days within a calendar year, that contextually implies that Sabbaton in Colossians 2:16 should refer to Sabbath days. Besides, if you keep any command of the entire law, it requires you to keep all of the commandments of the law. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. And also Galatians chapter 5, verse 3. Let me get those passages out here. First of all, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law of Moses. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul's, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised in Christ, this is part of the law, you profit you nothing. For I testify again, verse 3, that to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the entire law. The entire law stands or falls together. You can't separate the ceremonial law from the Ten Commandments. If you're going to keep any of the Ten Commandments, because you're under the jurisdiction of that, you have to keep the entire Mosaic law, all the ceremonial law. If you keep any of the ceremonial law, you have to keep everything including the Ten Commandments, because you're still under the jurisdiction of the entire law. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, Moses said, cursed is everyone, he's talking about people under the law, cursed is everyone who doesn't keep all of the law. So the whole thing stands together. You can't break up parts of the law and say, we're under this but not under that. We're either under the law in its entirety or we're not under the law in its entirety. So, in Colossians 2:16, in the Greek text, Paul taught that we are not to let anyone judge us in regard to the observance of the Sabbath day, part of the Ten Commandments, for we are no longer under any part of the law. Both the Seventh-day Adventists' alleged ceremonial law and the Ten Commandments. It's interesting that the Jews never separated the Ten Commandments from the rest and called the rest the ceremonial law. To the Jews, the Ten Commandments was a picture of, it was a summary of all the laws in 10 basic factors, but it was not separate from the rest. Now, I want to give you a note here because I know the question is going to come up, and I'm doing this especially for listeners who are either on the cell phone or people who are on the MP3 recording. Does that mean that since the Bible says you shall not steal in one of the Ten Commandments, now I'm free to steal? Or does it say, thou shalt not commit adultery, now you're free to commit adultery? No. We're going to explain this. And this is under C in the note. 9 of the Ten Commandments, what excludes the command of the Sabbath, are instituted for us in the apostles' writings. And as we are under apostolic authority, we happen to observe 9 of the Ten Commandments. Now, we're not observing the 9 of the Ten Commandments because we're under the rule of the law itself. No, we're under the rule of the apostles. And the apostles gave for us 9 of the 10 and said, as believers, you should do this. So that's why we don't steal, we don't commit these other sins, these other 9 sins that are under the law. But we are free from keeping the Jewish Sabbath, which is on Saturday. Actually, it starts at Friday at sundown and goes till Saturday sundown. That's actually the Jewish Sabbath. So we're not under the Jewish Sabbath at all. So I want to repeat that. The 9 of the Ten Commandments, what excludes the command of the Sabbath, are instituted for us in the apostles' writings. And as we are under apostolic authority, we observe 9 of the Ten Commandments. This is why when we interpret Scripture, we interpret all of Scripture under the writings of the apostles. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, Jude, Revelation. Remember John, part of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3 deals with the church era, but chapters 4 through 22 actually deal with what's happening after the church era. But we are under the rule of the apostles. Notice I did not say we're not under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were under the law. Until Jesus died on the cross, people were under the law. When Jesus died on the cross, he died to the law. Now, after the death of Christ, between the death of Christ and the end of each of the Gospels is a transition period where you're transitioning gradually out of the law into grace, because there's a huge break that has to occur there. It took the Jewish believers an entire generation to get used to it. It was a big, big break. And the book of Acts continues that break. And this is why there's a transfer. A lot of people, especially charismatics, become very, very confused as to what to do with various parts of Acts. and they'll apply part of the book of Acts to the church when they should, because it's a transitional book. The speaking in tongues is a classic situation. All of the efforts of speaking in tongues, there are Jews present because the speaking in tongues is fulfilling a passage in Deuteronomy 28 to Jews, informing them that the work of God is going on and that they as a nation are under judgment unless they get right with God in regards to their Messiah. So you have Jews speaking in tongues in Acts 2 to other Jews present. You have Jews present when you have half-blooded Jews, Samaritans, speaking in tongues in Acts 8. In Acts 10, you have Gentiles who are speaking in tongues in front of Jews, which tells them the Gentiles are not part of the church. And then you have Acts 19, where you've got Jews who were informed under the John the Baptizer, but they didn't know about Christ yet. And then when they come to believe in Christ, they speak in tongues. After that, there's no emphasis of a new group of people wholesale speaking in tongues, because the speaking in tongues was assigned to the Jew. That's why when God brought Titus in and they leveled the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the gift of tongues stopped being given. And by the 3rd century, I think Chrysostom wrote in his commentary, he was writing a commentary on the book of Acts, and he said, this gift of tongues, we don't even know what it is today. It had passed off the scene so early that by the 3rd or 4th century, Chrysostom, who was one of the church fathers, didn't even understand what the gift was. I mean, the gift was gone. But there's a transition. And so we are under the rule of the apostles, and the apostles tell us how to handle and how to interpret the other passages of Scripture. And so we do that. Even the teaching of the Lord Jesus, during his earthly life, he was teaching to Jews under the law. And he kept looking forward to the time when the gospel would be getting out to Gentiles. But until his resurrection, he didn't tell them to go to the Gentiles. He said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because he was trying to reach Israel at the time. So when we are under the jurisdiction of the apostles direct us in regards to this matter of the law. We're not under the rule of the law at all. We're under the rule of the apostles. And as a result of that, they repeat 9 of the 10 commandments for us, and that's why we keep them. We're under the jurisdiction of the apostles. So, by our identification with Christ and his death and resurrection, we believers are no longer under the jurisdiction of any part of the Mosaic law. We are to live in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. That would be the letter of the law. So, in application, may we function totally free from the jurisdiction of the entire Mosaic law and in union with Christ. Once again, I want to emphasize, we're not supposed to be lawless, you know, and therefore living in sin, obviously not. The apostles are very careful in indicating what we should do and what we should not do. But we're not under the rule of the Mosaic law itself. We're free from that in Christ. Okay, we're going to open it up now for questions or feedback that you have. It could be in regards to the lesson itself. It doesn't have to be if there's something else that is